And down. Is who is the one who invited a bunch of people to his home with the wedding feast of the Lamb? Who is the one who invited people to heaven? It is God. Is God going to throw a great banquet? Is God going to throw a great feast? Yes, he is. In fact, if you look back at Luke 13:29, he talks about it there as well. So I'll start back in 28 because he's talking about those going to heaven and those not. And he says in 28, there will be weeping there and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob and all the prophets in the kingdom of God, but you yourselves are thrown out. So some are going in, some don't make it in. People will come from east and west and north and south and will take their place at the feast of the kingdom of God. So he's saying some aren't going to make it, but there's people from all over, right? So some of the Jews aren't going to make it. He just taught that back in chapter 13. Some of the Jews don't make it because they miss it. But there's going to be people from all over the world that do make it because they come through Jesus Christ. But there's going to be a great feast. It's the wedding feast of the Lamb. Back in Revelation, so you don't think I'm making it up. It's Revelation 19, verse 9, says this. Then the angel said to me, write, blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he added, these are the true words of God. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Did you see back in the parable what he said? So I believe God is the one who's inviting everybody, right, through Jesus. God wants everybody to be there. He's preparing a banquet. The banquet is the wedding feast, the wedding supper of the Lamb. And he invited many guests. Who all did he invite? Yeah. 2 Peter 2:9 says this. The Lord is not slow in keeping his promise, as some understand slowness. He is patient with you, not wanting anyone to perish. Listen to that. Not wanting anyone to perish, but everyone to come to repentance. What God wants is everyone to go home with him because he loves them, because they're his children. He doesn't want one person to perish. He wants them all to what? Did you catch the word I used? All to come to repentance. Why do they need to come to repentance? Because of their sin. He wants them to turn from their sin, be covered by the blood of Christ, and come home because he loves them. He doesn't want to lose any. So that's setting the stage. God wants everybody to come home. He's going to throw this great banquet, the greatest banquet you can imagine. It's far better than anything you've ever been to. It's far better than anything you can grasp or comprehend. If you think it's a party you want to skip, you're clueless of what you're thinking. You're clueless of. This is one you don't want to miss, man. And the invitation was sent out. It's open to anybody who's willing to accept Christ, who's willing to come. At the time of the banquet, he sent his servant to tell those who had been invited, come, for everything is now ready. In the age, at that time, according to Harold Martin, and he said that it was very common to send out two invitations. So what you would do is you would send out a mass invitation inviting everybody to come, and then you would send out another invitation when everything was ready. right? I mean, you didn't have Instagram, so you would send somebody out to tell them that everything was ready. Is everything ready for us to go? Is it fulfilled? Yeah. It was ready when Jesus died and rose again. When Jesus paid the debt on the cross, he made it ready. Everybody with me? You following it? It's ready. Have you ever been around somebody when they were invited to something, they make excuses and they're really bad at it? Right? You've been around somebody that's made excuses and they were really pathetic at making excuses. Watch these. So he said, he's inviting everybody. He's using this parable to teach them. He invited everybody. He told them it's time. Verse 18, but they all alike began to make excuses. Made excuses. The first said, I have just bought a field and I must go and see it. Please excuse me. Has anybody in here ever bought property? Raise your hand. Property. You ever bought any land? From a quarter of an acre or acre to a couple hundred. You bought land. Did any of you buy it without seeing it before you bought it? Most people would look at it before you buy it. Maybe some of you are a little more, will take a chance at it. I'm not taking a chance at it. If I'm going to buy land, I want to see it before I put money down, right? It's a crazy excuse. He's saying, oh, I want to go see this. The one guy was talking about how people get wrapped in business. They get wrapped up in things of this world, and they don't want to do anything. They don't want to pay attention to Jesus. They don't want to spend time with him because they're too worried about buying things or their possessions or their businesses at this time. The next one says this. Another said, I have just bought 5 yoke of oxen, and I'm on my way to try them out. Please excuse me. That excuse is worse than the first one. Let me tell you why. Some people might buy land sight unseen, but would you ever buy a team of oxen that you're going to use to farm with without seeing them before you bought them and trying them out? That is crazy. They could be wore out. They could be sick. They could be wild. They could be crazy. Have you ever worked with animals that are crazy? There's no way you buy a team of oxen before you try them out. That would be nuts. It'd be nuts. It was just an excuse. People get wrapped up in their toys and in their things, and they'd rather be with them than they would be with him. They'd rather be with their toys than they would be with the Lord. And still another said, I just got married, so I can't come. I have a concept. Have her come with you. Right? And even if you didn't want her to come with you, which would be sad because you just married, right? He didn't say go divorce her. He said you could go and come back. It's a dinner. Quickly on that, I'll say this. I believe marriage and family is ordained by God. Do you believe that? I believe family, marriages and family is ordained by God. But, and some of you won't like this, but I'm going to say it anyhow. It is never, ever to be put before God. I believe family was ordained by God, marriage was ordained by God, but it never takes the place of God, and it is never on the throne. Only He is. I believe priorities, my priorities, and I've said this many times, are God, family, church. And if you take any of those out of any order, or you put anything else up on the top, you're off. You miss it. So they all made excuses. We got to hurry because of time. The servant came back and reported this to his master. Then the owner of the house became angry. Does he have a right to be angry? Hang on, he invited them. When you invite somebody, what do? You prepare for it. When you prepare a lot of food in a banquet situation, is there any cost to that? Has anybody ever hosted anything? Right? Yeah, no, I know there's people who've hosted things in here, right? And you have a bunch of people come, right? And you're feeding a bunch of people. Is it cheap? Not usually. So he would have put a lot of time and a lot of expense into this. Did it cost God anything to get us to go to heaven? Was there any expense to it? It was what? It was the blood of his son. He paid the ultimate price, and people reject it. Listen to this. Grasp if he has the right to be insulted. He created us, we rebelled. He loved us enough to make us have a way back. And the price of that was the blood of his own son was the only way to get us to come back. And people rejected that too. Does he have a right to be insulted? We deserved wrath. He gave us life by giving his life. And people still refuse it. He has a right to be angry, to be insulted. An ordered servant, go out quickly into the streets and alleys of the towns and bring in the poor, the crippled, the blind, and the lame. Who was allowed to come to the banquet? Yeah, the broken and beat up and the... I don't know about you, but that applies to me because I don't deserve to be in that banquet. Praise God for grace. Praise God for grace. That he would let me go to that banquet by the blood of Christ, because it's sure in the world isn't because of my social status. He opened the doors to anyone. It goes on, he says, sir, the servant said, what you have ordered has been done, but there's still room. Did you catch what he just said? Hey, we already did that. There's still room. If you think when you get to, you know, heaven's going to be this stuffy, boring place. Look, you don't have a concept of heaven. And I believe there's still room. I was talking to a guy not too long ago. They did a study from one of the churches. I think it was up closer to like Impact area, up in that area. Did a study. And I think from that church, in a 7-mile radius, there were 70,000 people who didn't have a good relationship with Jesus Christ, a committed relationship with Christ. 70,000 people that didn't have a good relationship with Christ. 70,000. There's a lot of people that could be invited to the banquet that aren't going. From our seats, there's between 50 and 70,000 people that don't know Jesus. Right here. I'm telling you, there's a lot of people that have been invited that aren't going. In this room, man, this room. Then the master told his servant, go out to the roads and country lanes. Catch the word go. Jesus, in the Great Commission, he said what? Go and make disciples of all nations. Go. It's an action word. Listen to me. If you've been zoning, listen to this. It's an action word, church. We're called for action. It's not a passive, set around, lukewarm, expect somebody else. We're called into action. Go. Go. Go out to the roads and country lanes and make them come in so that my house will be full. He says, go. Go all over. You go. You invite all of them. Everyone. When he says make them come in, it's not by force. That's not what he's saying. Do not miss that. God does not force anyone to love him, and God will not force anyone to spend eternity with him. It's all by choice. But it's the word I want to use is persuade. It is to encourage, it's to teach, it's to educate, it's to show them, it's to help them grasp what's at stake so that they will come and fill his house, because that's what he wants. I'm about done, but I'll say this. We were blessed. We got our two boys back from college. So our house is full for a couple months. Got all the kids at home, and it might sound corny to you, and you can write me letters to say I'm corny, but it feels good to me. It just does. And I know that they have to grow up, and they have to move out, and I get that. I'm not stupid. I get it. But for the meantime, it just feels good to have my kids at home with me. And I think that's how he feels. He just wants his kids to come home. You know what I mean? He just wants his family home. And he say, go out and you invite them and you fill my house, church. That's what we're called to do. This applies to us, man. Go tell people, wherever they are, the good news and fill his home. Then he says this in 24. I tell you, not one of those who were invited will get a taste of my banquet. What's he saying? He's saying the same thing he said over here in chapter 13 when we talked about the narrow door. He's saying those who refuse him, when the door is shut, it's shut. It's over. And that might sound harsh. And you're like, but pastor, I don't know. Listen to me. He's really clear. I believe he's clear. If people refuse him and they don't want anything to do with him and they refuse him and they will not come through the blood of Jesus Christ and the door is shut, it's shut. Some are going and some aren't. And the difference is what they do with Jesus. And that is not me just preaching fire and brimstone. That's what the book says, man. Some are making it and some aren't. And the difference is what you do with Jesus. Some are going to spend eternity in paradise and some aren't. And it comes down to, what do you do with Jesus? Two quick things. You have been invited to the greatest celebration ever, ever, ever. The question is, what are you going to do? Are you going or are you not going? Are you going or are you going to make excuses? Are you going or are you going to be too wrapped up in possessions and relationships and business? Are you too wrapped up in all that stuff that you push him aside? Because there's a ton of the world that is more worried about relationships here and the temporary business stuff and the temporary possessions and their toys, and they're too busy with that. They want to play with that stuff. They push him away and they don't want anything to do with him. Is that you? Because you've been invited to spend time with the King. And I believe that yes, that is when we go to heaven, but I believe we can have a relationship with him today. Today. You've been invited. The question is, what are you going to do with it? What are you going to choose? I mean, are you willing to choose to see who he is and what he's done? Are you willing to see the cost he's made, the sacrifice he's made, and the love he's given? Are you willing to get ready for the banquet? And what I mean by getting ready for the banquet is this. It's Revelation 7, 13 through 14. He says this. Then one of the elders asked me, these in white robes, who are they and where did they come from? I'm saying, are you getting ready? Are you putting on a white robe? I answered, sir, you know. And he said, these are they who have come out of the great tribulation. They have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Are you willing to repent? Be washed white by the blood of the Lamb and be ready for the banquet. That's the question. Are you willing to accept Jesus as your Lord and Savior, repent of your sin, and be washed white with the blood of the Lamb so you're ready to go to the banquet? And are you willing to share the invitation with the world, church, because we were told to go fill his house? Father God, I pray that we would accept your invitation and we would share it with the world around us. Lord, I pray that we would be passionate about that. And Lord, I pray that you would move in a mighty way in our lives and the lives of this community for the lost. That they would come home. Lord, we want and you want more people to fill your house. Please help us to be faithful, Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. If you would, please stand.